Newsletter, the quarterly publication of the European Blind Union Office. The text is read by Shirley Doring. The cassette is produced by Atelier Helen Keller, César van Malderenstraat 33, B1731, Zellik, Belgium. Telephone 322 466 9440. Fax 322 466 9286. If there is anything wrong with the quality of the cassette or the dispatch, please contact Luc Roulant at the previously mentioned address. Cassette 1, Track 1. Number 19, March 1998. Contents. Bosnia-Herzegovina joins EBU. Copyright in France, the situation today. Fourth generation screen readers about to come. The German Federation of the Blind implements relief programs in Cameroon. EBU commissions. Cooperation with developing countries, an EBU commission with this dedicated task. From social wrongs to social rights, the pathway to inclusion for visually impaired people. EBU Working Group on Access to Electronic Money Systems. Announcements. Recent and coming events. Bosnia-Herzegovina joins EBU. At its Luxembourg meeting of 13th and 14th of February 1998, the board of EBU granted membership to Bosnia-Herzegovina, which brings the number of EBU member countries up to 44. This long-awaited decision had to be put back on several occasions, as EBU consistently insisted on the need for applicants to be truly representative of blind people in the whole country. Blind people in the three ethnic religious communities, Croats, Muslims and Serbs, have associations of their own. On 24th of July 1997, the three associations finally united under an umbrella organisation called Union of the Blind of Bosnia-Herzegovina, which the board of EBU has deemed worthy of joining the organised blind movement in Europe. The following is an account by Claire Bottoli and Philippe Calbeau of France, who visited Sarajevo in December 1995, in the aftermath of civil war. It is to be noted that, for obvious safety reasons, they did not have the opportunity to visit other parts of Bosnia-Herzegovina. Therefore, this account only reflects the situation of the visually impaired in Sarajevo. We hope to be able to gather information on our fellow blind and their organisations outside the capital city for publication in coming issues of the EBU newsletter. We wanted to do something because we felt a certain uneasiness at the general public's long indifference to a country plagued by 4.5 years of war and ethnic cleansing, and at our seeming powerlessness with respect to a conflict that was raging in our own European backyard. Our objective was to make contact with blind people and their organisations in Bosnia in order to better assess their needs and to help them in the most appropriate way. We therefore resolved to go to Bosnia-Herzegovina, but before doing so, we felt it necessary to send in advance some small equipment, including 200 kilos of braille paper donated by the French Association for the Blind, APAM, and 1,000 cassettes donated by another French association, Audi Media. We were able to ship this preliminary aid thanks to the financial support of the French-based Crusade des Aveugles. We left with a group of people who all had projects of their own, for example, schools, radio, sports, and we arrived in Sarajevo after a four-day trip with many unexpected problems, including endless military checks. we were greeted by Fikret Zuko, the director of the Association for the Blind of Sarajevo, and by the president, Hendija Salković. We were very touched by the warm welcome we were given by our Bosnian hosts, although they found themselves in the midst of great difficulty. There was running water every 3 or 4 days, gas every 2 days, and the average monthly salary was around 175 French francs, about $29. Fikret Zuko pointed out that the major problem facing the blind was mere survival. Many of those who have lost their sight during the war no longer have employment or sufficient income. All the sheltered workshops where many blind people used to work have been destroyed during the war. Before the war, the Association of the Blind of Sarajevo had 800 members. Since then, many have sought shelter in areas outside Sarajevo, and there are now only some 350 members. The association runs courses in Braille and shorthand, as well as independent living skills. The ground floor of the organization's building is divided into 2 large rooms. One, with street-level access, is a kind of community center where people can meet and have discussions over a cup of much-appreciated Bosnian-style coffee. Braille and shorthand classes are given by volunteers in the second room. Fikret Zuko and his team focus primarily on fundraising, as the state is currently unable to provide any money. Aid comes mainly from private enterprises in the industrial or humanitarian sector, in the form of food, equipment, and small appliances for the blind. As an example, an Italian association recently donated 2,000 Braille frames. Other sources of funding are needed, as there are a great many reconstruction projects on hold. There used to be a specialised primary and secondary school located in the Serbian part of the city. The school is said to have been partly or completely destroyed during the war. There is a project to build a new centre which will provide primary and secondary schooling along with vocational training. Branko Milko, future director of the new centre, explained that the government had approved the project but that there was no budget to pay for it. In the meantime, a group of a dozen visiting teachers give classes at the students' homes. Fikret Zuko advised us that despite the severe lack of equipment, there are highly qualified teachers. Those individuals who lost their sight during the war are heavily dependent on their families and on other sources of assistance. There is a great need for special aids that are necessary for the acquisition of autonomy, such as white canes, watches, alarm clocks, and tape recorders. There is a special library for the blind in Sarajevo. The library has 8 employees and is run by a council of 3 officers appointed by the government. 11,000 titles are available in Braille and on tape, and cover a wide gamut of subjects, including foreign literature, philosophy, sociology. The number of users of the library services is estimated at 1,200, 200 in Sarajevo proper and 1,000 outside. Before the war, Braille was produced in Belgrade, as the library in Sarajevo did not have the necessary facilities. Now is the time to restructure and develop the production of Braille books. The library intends to have its own Braille printing equipment, but scarce resources do not allow for the purchase of a badly needed computer. During our visit to the library, we were able to leaf through a very well printed Braille copy of the Fleur du Mal in Serbokrat. Other Braille publications, including women's magazines, are available from Croatia. One of the librarians also mentioned that the library has a small collection of books in large print and children's books. The library has a very good sound studio where books are recorded on tape. 2 monthly magazines are recorded on cassettes. One has articles from the national press and the other from cultural and scientific journals. We were able to participate in a recording session with a famous national radio presenter. Our fellow blind in Sarajevo live precarious lives and badly need our assistance. The most urgent needs we have been able to identify during our visit include training of trainers in mobility and independent living, financial support, provision of aids for independent living, creation of sheltered workshops. We sincerely hope that our visit to Sarajevo will help foster solidarity and cooperation with the blind in Bosnia-Herzegovina. For further information, please contact Claire Botelli, Philippe Calbeau, Audi Media, 4 Boulevard Soult, 75012 Paris, France. Telephone, fax, 33143074312. Copyright in France, the situation today. The following is a presentation made by Henri Chauchin at the Info Rights Conference held by the UNESCO Committee of European Experts on Communication and Copyright in the Information Society, Monaco, 9th to the 13th of March 1998. Henri Chauchin of France is a member of the EBU Commission on Access to Culture and Information. When dealing with transcription for the blind and the visually impaired, the only safe argument we can fall back upon is the notion of everyone's right to access information and culture without any form of discrimination. Besides, no one questions the right for authors and publishers to receive due retribution for their works and services, whatever the format. And what blind and visually impaired people want most is to pay the same price as every other citizen when buying a book or any other document. But who is going to pay the difference, if there is any? In France, the production of Braille, audio or digital books is still governed by a permission system. Permission is readily granted for Braille or diskettes, more diffidently for audio cassettes. In the latter case, some publishers ask to have a copy for themselves and may require a small symbolic fee per book or per cassette. Permission may be granted for one or more copies. For diskettes meant to be sold to blind and visually impaired people, publishers levy a tax of about 7%, rarely 25% in the case of special works, based on the price of a printed book. But they usually grant permission for a limited number of copies, up to 200. This means that diskette producers seek compensation through a sort of dumping by using subsidies or private donations that could be spent more usefully elsewhere. Finally, we do not know of any reproducer who has been selected as sole and exclusive beneficiary of a permission. As regards the distinction between production and conversion, we think it certainly is a good idea, but do not imagine it is likely to work satisfactorily. Quite a few people prefer to focus their attention on the notion of open and closed formats, though they are well aware that this will not solve the whole problem. How should the absence of answer be interpreted when permission is asked? Should it be regarded as acceptance or refusal after a given delay? Concerning diskettes, the idea of a personal access code or password is being considered. Some diskette producers think it is wise to use a software with a key code or lock to avoid piracy, though no one knows how safe the device can be. As for access to internet for loading, we know this can be done without great risk, although this is illegal or on the verge of legality. Associations avoid loading from the internet, as it is often hard to know whether works or documents have become public or not. The rights may still be held by someone, or the creation might have been republished. The idea of compensation to make up for the difference as compared with a printed book brought one of our members to make an interesting suggestion. To raise the price of printed books by an infinitesimal percentage, the total would represent a huge sum that could be used to lower the production cost in any format available to blind and visually impaired people. To conclude, there is not the slightest move towards new legislation in France. The question is, do we want new legislation or just guidelines? For the moment, the situation is frozen. Publishers recoil when the issues of reproduction and copyright are mentioned. They seem to be waiting for something, but what? There seems to be no political will to make things square, either from the government or from publishers, or even from organisations acting for blind and visually impaired people. by Henri Chanchon, Association Valentin High, France. Fourth generation screen readers about to come. Many people use a computer these days. You use them at home, on your job, in public environments, etc. When we, the blind and visually impaired, use them, we need specific additional software and hardware. The software is commonly referred to as a screen reader program or access software and is used to collect information displayed on the screen. We also need hardware to display information in Braille using a Braille display and or by synthetic speech using a speech synthesizer. Next to this, magnification using hardware or software allows partially sighted people to access part of the information in an alternative way by adjusting colours, contrasts, font size, by highlighting specific objects on the screen, etc. In this article, I would like to discuss the development of screen reader programmes. The main reason for this is that a new generation is about to reach the market. The first generation of screen readers was rather straightforward. It was not much more than a black box in between a big computer and a simple terminal consisting only of a keyboard and a screen. The screen reader allowed you to read all lines on the screen, that is, where the word screen reader comes from. You still find these simple speaking devices on the aids and appliances market. Today they are incorporated in clocks, calculators, colour detectors, and I hope we will find them in many more household devices in the near future. However, they have never become really popular in the computer environment. The second generation of screen readers came along with the advent of the personal computer, PC. It was mainly a piece of software designed to read directly from the screen buffer of the PC or by intercepting the flow of data to the screen, allowing the user to run whatever application program he needed. The program drives the Braille display or speech device. The screen buffer is a part of the PC memory where the text displayed on the screen is available for programs to read. Different vendors did a good job in building access software, allowing the user to use all kinds of different software products. The third generation of screen readers appeared with the introduction of the Graphical User Interface, GUI, like Microsoft Windows for the PC. The technology associated with the second generation screen readers can no longer be used, since there is no screen buffer to read from. The application program, for example a text processor, can no longer write to the screen but rather talks to the software that manages what is displayed on the screen. It is precisely from the screen manager that the third generation screen readers get their information. All the information from the application program to the screen manager is intercepted, analysed and stored for future use by the screen reader. Unfortunately though, the talking to the screen manager is still not really standardised. This makes it very difficult for screen reader vendors to make their products just as general as the second generation products. Another problem, of course, is that more and more information is displayed in graphical formats, pictures, diagrams, etc. Now, technology developed by screen reader builders will not be able to use this method of gathering information in the future. The link between the application program and the screen manager of the third generation is about to be replaced. New techniques will become available, though, to allow the screen reader to collect information. This new interface will make it possible for the screen reader to ask for information about what the application program wants the user to see. There are some big advantages to this approach. First of all, the physical screen the sighted user is looking at is no longer a limitation for the screen reader. It can, for example, simply read through the whole document in a text processor by talking to the text processor. Another advantage is that some types of diagrams that are presently not accessible will become so to the screen reader. When a diagram is built up from information in the program, the screen reader will be able to collect this information and provide the user with a text explaining what the diagram looks like. Big companies like Microsoft Active Accessibility, MSAA, and Sun Microsystems, Java Foundation Classes Programming Interface, JFC API, have introduced this new approach recently. IBM is currently working on a prototype of a screen reader that uses JFC API. A big disadvantage of, again, a new approach is that, once more, screen reader vendors must add a new technology approach to their products. The crux of this challenge is that both the third and fourth generation technology must be supported to offer the user a complete working environment. A standardized Braille and speech user interface, BUI, SUI, including standardized keyboard handling, could help the user to follow where the big changes happen backstage. Another complicating factor is that the fourth generation approach is not at all standardized. Up to now, at least three products using this technology have hit the market. Today, screen reader vendors are already a long way behind, and this new step ahead, but in a quite different direction, will not help them to come closer to today's technology. Still, this approach offers an opportunity for the blind to follow the developments in information technology. I hope the screen reader vendors are ready for another challenge. Joined developments by some screen reader builders and big companies could well be the only way to follow information technology developments. By Jaap van Lelyveld, Chair, EBU Commission on Technical Devices and Services. The German Federation of the Blind implements relief programs in Cameroon. Upon an invitation from the National Association of the Blind of Cameroon, NABC, a delegation of three from the German Federation of the Blind paid an 8-day visit to Cameroon in February 1998. The delegation consisted of Armin Capello, President, Hans-Dieter Spatter, Director, and Rolf Kalen, Interpreter. The delegation was welcomed at the seaport of Doula by NABC officers, including the President, Paul Tézanou. After a visit to the Doula Centre for the Blind, which is a very small downtown workshop for basket work, the delegation purchased a new four-wheel pickup truck for an agricultural project being undertaken by blind women in southeast Cameroon. The vehicle, which features a double cabin plus ample loading space, will help blind women to get to the fields and forward their products to the market. A further stop was made at the provincial capital of Duchang with its Notre Dame Residential School for the Blind, where Paul Tézanou is headmaster. The school has some 30 male and female students, all of whom attend a mainstream school. They live at the Notre Dame School, where they also attend additional special classes and receive training in manual work. The students work in shifts on a farm located some 15 kilometres outside the town. The farm sells its products mainly to Doula University. The delegation also had an opportunity to visit the school's huge water tank, which had been built 4 years before thanks to a Deutschmark 60,000 subvention granted by the German Federation of the Blind and the Swiss Association of the Blind and Visually Impaired. Since all raw materials for brushes, brooms and baskets, as well as the finished products, are stored on the ground for lack of furnishings, the German delegation gave Deutschmark 10,000 in cash for buying suitable shelving and cupboards. Also purchased on the spot were hoes, shovels, wheelbarrows, water cans and Wellingtons to enable the students to cultivate a field sized about 1 hectare. Grown there are potatoes, peas and beans, carrots and tomatoes. All excess products are sold on the markets of the region. Armin Capello shared several hours of discussions with the students about their problems. Especially blind girls and women hardly have a chance to lead a life in dignity if they do not have access to education. However, it was possible to get the idea across to the students, but also to the Cameroon people, that while the provision of sustainable self-help was certainly necessary, rehabilitation facilities and services, such as available in the West European countries, cannot be a model for a country like Cameroon. In the provincial capital of Bamenda, the delegation met with a warm reception by NABC Regional Committee. Compliments and gifts were exchanged, and the German delegation was able to give assurance that the help being provided was only a beginning, which was planned to be followed up soon. In the national capital of Yaounde, the entire delegation was received by the National Minister of Social Affairs, Dr. Marie-Madeleine Fouda, who hitherto had had no direct contact with blind people, but who revealed an open mind as to the problems of her blind fellow citizens. Very obviously, she devoted much more time to conducting talks than had been planned originally, which gives reason to hope that she understood the message delivered. This was followed by a visit to the German embassy, where assurance was given that any relief from Germany would be readily supported and that assistance would be given in the on-site implementation of programmes. On its way from Dachang to Yaounde, the delegation passed through the city of Bafoucham, where they came across the shell of an unfinished school for the blind. There were only two makeshift classrooms, resulting in the fact that education can presently be provided for only 4 or 5 blind children. No funds are available for the urgently needed extension of the school building. The total cost for completing the schools, which would make it possible to accommodate a further 30 students, was put at some Deutschmark 30,000 by the school headmaster. This is very likely going to be the next field of action to be targeted by the German Federation of the Blind. The visit finished with a public ceremony at a big hotel in Yaounde, where representatives of the social ministry, the governor, the regional committee of NABC, and many blind people from the capital were present. At the event, all gifts were presented formally, amongst them the car keys, which were handed over to the Women's Committee president, Mrs. Jeanette Tamchajed. The event was broadcast by the local radio station and recorded by TV. Unfortunately, a container with devices for the blind, which the German Federation of the Blind had had shipped to Doula in early February, had not arrived at the time the ceremony was held. So the president of the German Federation of the Blind, Armin Capallo, had to confine himself to handing over of 80 watches for the blind, which were evenly distributed among men and women. The relief program implemented by the German Federation of the Blind, as described above, has had a total budget of Deutschmark 100,000. By Hans-Dieter Speter, Director General, German Federation of the Blind. EBU commissions. Cooperation with developing countries, an EBU commission with this dedicated task. If we take a look around the member states of Europe and the conditions under which blind and partially sighted live, we see many nuances, and surely a great number of our visually impaired friends who are striving to entangle themselves from poverty and head towards improved conditions, user influence and drive. However, our brothers and sisters in developing countries are undoubtedly faced with conditions that are much more difficult and humiliating than we would ever imagine, if we had not been there ourselves and had witnessed their misery. Fortunately, however, there are more colours to the palette, and the recreation of energy, the creativity to involve themselves in projects, leadership training, etc., are important elements in today's picture of the visually impaired in developing countries. The Commission, which boasts members from Ukraine, Belarus, Italy, Spain, France, the UK, Germany and Denmark, held a very successful meeting in Denmark on November the 7th to the 9th, 1997. A plan of action was adopted, which has subsequently been approved by the EBU Board. The Commission's main focal points during this current term will be activities mainly directed towards blind organisations in Africa, but this does not mean that the focus has been lost when looking at other continents. In fact, we discussed an interesting project engineered by the Women's Wing of the Asian Blind Union, which was designed to map out the situation and problems facing blind girls and women in Asia and to create comprehensive knowledge on role model cases, success stories, that should serve as inspiration during the years to come. Although the priority of the Commission so far has been given to the Anglophone part of Africa, an effort will also be made to attempt to promote improved support to the Francophone part of Africa and the organisations of the visually impaired there. The two funds that were established after the generous donation of the French Federation of the Blind in 1991 will continue its work to support leadership training activities, small-scale income-generating projects, and other activities that are considered crucial to blind organisations in Africa and elsewhere. Braille production still ranks high on our list of focal topics, and it has been realised that the modern technological approach, although in many countries not immediately within reach, should be considered in order to obtain as efficient results and as broad access to written information as possible. In addition, the area of rehabilitation will become a priority theme during this term. Many concepts have been developed ranging from institution-based approaches to various types of community-based rehabilitation. Nowadays, CBR is as broad and colourful a family as the number of species of butterflies around the world. A petition has been sent out from the EBU president as well as the EBU treasurer urging member organisations to consider rendering financial assistance to the various funds mentioned above. Furthermore, a survey will be sent out to take stock of the ongoing activities around Europe benefiting blind and partially sighted in developing countries, provided that the survey is approved by the EBU board. The purpose of this survey is not to put further administration pressures on blind organisations, but just to get an update in order to achieve a map of activities. In this way, maximum coordination and a minimum loss of good resources can be secured. I hope that our Commission will be able to keep all readers currently informed about ongoing activities. Although one might feel that we are facing so many challenges within our own organisations and within the European region, it is important to direct attention towards those who have even less than we have. Solidarity goes both ways, and the success of the work together with partners in developing countries is a sweet fruit to harvest after a season of ripening. By John Heilbrunn, Vice Chair, EBU Commission on Cooperation with the Blind and Partially Sighted in Developing Countries. From social wrongs to social rights, the pathway to inclusion for visually impaired people. In June last year, I updated readers of the EBU newsletter on the plans being developed by our Commission on Social Rights. Since then, our Commission has been working hard. We have almost doubled the size of the Hermes network. We now have 34 members. A few countries have decided not to nominate Hermes link officers. This means that there are only 3 or 4 more countries that have to decide to nominate. We have therefore turned our attention to organising a training seminar for Hermes link officers. This will take place at the Italian Union of the Blind's Superb Study Centre in Tirrenia, near Pisa, Italy, from 15th to 18th of May. This is the first major international event organised specifically for all members of the new formed network of Hermes Link officers. We will aim to ensure that Hermes Link officers appreciate their role, have the key knowledge, skills and information that they need, know how to make the best use of the UN standard rules to improve social rights for visually impaired people, have the opportunity to create an effective network with other Hermes Link officers to share experience and information and provide mutual support. The overarching scheme of this event will be campaigning. This is an important skill for all Hermes Link officers. By the end of the seminar, participants will know how to plan, structure and organise a campaign to improve social rights. After the seminar, we hope to provide support to help new Hermes Link officers to plan their first campaign. In small organisations, it is often the president who takes the campaigning lead with support from the Hermes Link officer. We therefore think that some national presidents will wish to participate in the training seminar. Several chairs of EBU commissions have expressed an interest in the Hermes network. We have therefore invited the chairs of all commissions to participate in the training seminar. The programme is in four parts. The first plenary session will have presentations on East and West European perspectives of what makes a campaign successful. Mrs. Inge Klessen-Vastberg, Ombudsman for People with Disability, will describe how her office monitors the implementation of the UN standard rules in Sweden. This will be followed by two workshop sessions. The first will be on selecting, planning and implementing successful campaigns. Practical examples of actual campaigning issues introduced by participants will provide the basis for workshop practice. For the second workshop session, participants will have four choices: the implementation and monitoring of UN standard rules, organising self-help groups and networking. The fourth choice of workshop will depend on the ideas given to us by Hermes Link officers. The secondary plenary session will provide feedback from the two workshop sessions. Hermes Link officers will then be invited to advise us on the future support they would like from the Commission on Social Rights. We have tried hard to keep the cost down to a very low level, an inclusive fee of £120. We have also obtained some limited financial support that will enable us to help some Hermes Link officers from organisations in poor EBU member countries who would not otherwise be able to participate. Please get in touch with me if you are interested in this training seminar and you have a campaigning role in organisations representing the interests of visually impaired people. We would like to see you in Tirrenia. By Tony Aston, Chair, EBU Commission on Social Rights. EBU Working Group on Access to Electronic Money Systems. The EBU Working Group on Access to Electronic Money Systems started its work in January 1998. Its first meeting took place on 31st of January in Utrecht, the Netherlands. Members of the working group agreed to focus on the following subjects over the next 2 years. 1. Cash dispensers and electronic telling machines, ATMs. 2. Electronic purses. 3. Electronic fund transfer at point of sale. 4. Home banking facilities. The working group will work on a list of user requirements which could be helpful to make these electronic money systems accessible to blind and partially sighted people. It will also seek publicity and develop lobbying strategies to make European policymakers, producers of equipment and other concerned parties aware of the problems visually impaired people have to face regarding electronic money. At the end of the 2 years period, the working group will publish a brochure containing user requirements, relevant names and addresses, and practical advice about EBU member organisations could follow when trying to influence national policies on the design of electronic money equipment. In its first period of work, February to October 1998, the working group will prepare discussion papers to make sure that everyone is fully aware of the kind of equipment involved for each of the four electronic money systems mentioned above, and what problems visually impaired people might have in using them. The discussion papers will be attached to a short questionnaire which will be distributed among EBU member organisations in June. It is essential that all EBU member countries cooperate on this subject and help the working group with relevant information on electronic money systems in their respective countries. We need information, experiences and recommendations from as many European countries as possible. As the working group is rather small, we would like to ask all EBU member organisations to appoint a special contact person to keep us abreast of relevant developments. Please let the working group secretariat have the name of your contact person or any information on the subject at the following address. Dutch Union of the Blind and Partially Sighted, P.O. Box 2344, 3500 GH Utrecht, The Netherlands. Telephone 3130 293 1141. Fax 3130 293 2544. Email bureau@nvbs.nl. By Inga Takke, Working Group Secretary. Working Group Membership. Mrs. Francis Fortuyn, Chair, The Netherlands. Mr. John Gill, UK. Mr. Jean-Pierre Luest, Belgium. Mrs. Dagny Murk, Sweden. Mr. Rudolf Volodnik, Czech Republic. This is the end of the first track. Reverse the cassette here and you'll be able to hear track 2 straight away.